I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad to see everybody here. I just love that song, the chorus you opened with. It's one of those things I like to just listen to. Instead of contributing my voice, just listen. I have a subject on the board, I think. Yes? I have made a study of this, of these words. And there's one still not on this board that's typical as well. And sometimes in the scripture, you find the words Holy Spirit, and other times you find Spirit of God. And then you find the Holy Ghost. So Holy Spirit, or Spirit of God, appears in numerous verses of scripture. The Holy Ghost does not appear in the Old Testament. There's a reason for that. I'll talk about it later. Holy Ghost does not appear in the Old Testament. It appears 89 times in 89 different verses in the New Testament and 78 different verses in the Book of Mormon. And the question is, are they just names for the same thing? I'll take a poll. How many think that they are names for the same thing? How many think that they are different things? Okay, well, that's interesting. The house is a little bit divided, but not a whole lot. So that's the question. Well, let's take it from a different angle here. Let's look at them separately and see what some of the scriptures say that use those terms. So we'll start with the Holy Spirit. Does it have an effect on us? I'm going to go back in time a long ways. And in Exodus chapter 35 through 39 is the story of how Moses got the first tabernacle built. I read that and I was fascinated because I saw there so many things that we should return to, that we should be like today. This is a part of it, and I think you get the idea from this verse. And they came, the children of Israel, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now remember, they were going to build this building, and Moses was the one who was in charge of it. And so he had to get some action going. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And Moses said, a few verses later, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel. So Bezalel was called out of the group and given a task. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Now what was Bezalel's task? He was in charge of the whole project. And it was done because of his talents that he had in working with metal, in working with wood, in working with people. And he did a very good job, a very good job. Notice here what we have. We have people who have a task in front of them, a large one. And what are they like? Their spirit is there, making them willing. And they brought all kinds of things to help finance the project. So their hearts were stirred up. Your heart been stirred up by the Spirit of God recently? Any stirring up going on here? It's a good thing. So in Exodus 35 through 39, if you want to go back and read that whole story, it's really very interesting. I was fascinated by that story and what they did and how they accomplished it and how the Spirit of God worked with them. So their hearts were stirred up, and their spirits were made willing. And the people brought the Lord's offerings to the work of the temple. And the men were called to the work. It wasn't just the one directing it. There were even people called because of their knowledge with musical instruments. So the musicians got called too. And it was a calling of the Spirit to them. And there were promptings of the Spirit occurring to many. And in the end, the final statement on chapter 39, verse 43, says this, "And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so, they had done it, and Moses blessed them." So that was how it was the good ending that this whole project had. They got it built, and the Holy of Holies was encased therein, and the people rejoiced. There are some things about this story that remind me of things that have happened in our church. You go back to the days when someone was trying to steal our property, you know, and they'd gotten a win from the courts, and we had to appeal that. And it needed money. So what happened? The people came forth with their jewelry. The Frisbees donated their orchard. And I see in that little bit of history of our own, something just exactly like what I read in Exodus 35. I can remember another time. Our church had burned down. We needed a new one, this building we're in now. And the people got together. And the money came from somewhere. Anyhow, when we built it, it was paid for. Wonderful cooperation and working together occurred at that time. When our foreign missions began in Africa, the tithing went up. There was made a great deal of interest. The elders who hadn't been interested in going anywhere were suddenly wanting to go to Africa. And we've been like that. We've been like the people of Israel. We've been stirred up from time to time. It raises the question in my mind, and I hope it does in yours too. Why aren't we always stirred up? Why is it just once in a while? We have these things that God has provided for us, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Things, the connections that we have with Him. So what does it take to get the Holy Spirit given to us? God hath not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. And who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. From Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. God hasn't called us to anything negative. He has called us to positive things. We haven't always answered that call. Or we've been, let somebody else do it. Or we've said, oh, wait a minute, I got a few other things to do first. We don't always listen to that call. From Ephesians 4, 30 to 32, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now this is describing what is negative that keeps the Spirit down and what is right and lifts the Spirit up. I think in one couple of verses here, Paul expressed it very well. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, do we? He's going to offer us His leading through the Spirit, whatever we want to call the Spirit. Then we ought to be accepting that and letting it build up within us that energy that it takes to accomplish the things that are before us. We don't always do it. But if we have that, we're sealed until the day of redemption. I can't think of a better thing than that. I mean, sealed. on to the day of redemption. If you have a day when you don't feel very sealed, it's time to look at how you've been responding to the Spirit of God. Be kind to one another, forgiving. So many times we're not kind to one another. So many times we are talking negatively about each other. So many times we are considering others as lower than ourselves. Maybe not in our thoughts, but in the way we behave toward each other. But we have been forgiven. We have no reason not to forgive others. We have no reason for anger and clamor and evil speaking. We're all in this together. What does it take to be led by the Spirit? Well, this one I found from Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Notice that it says, ask him. You don't sit around saying, oh, come on, God, give me that, your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I have need for that. Come on, give. No, we have to ask. And how do we ask? Do we wake up some morning and say, God, I want the Holy Spirit? No. It takes a little more effort than that. It takes prayer. It takes fasting sometimes. It takes all you can give it because it's beautiful and it's big and it's more than we can grasp on our own. We're just men. From Alma chapter 10, verses 27 and 28 says this, and now, my brethren, and I left some words out, hearken unto my words and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord, and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that ye may be tempted, not be tempted, above that which you can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. Now, this is the third scripture I have given you where these kinds of mental and emotional things come into the picture of being humble and meek and submissive and having love and long-suffering. It's got to be important, isn't it? The way we behave, the way we think about each other and about God is a very big part of this. And we can really mess up badly when we start defending ourselves against the horrible world around us as we take it. No. We are supposed to be the children of God. And how would the children of God behave? They would have his Spirit leading them. And it would lead them to be humble and meek and submissive and patient and full of love and long-suffering and with a great faith on the Lord. Have you also considered the faith we need on each other? Just a thought. So what will it take if we're led by the Spirit? You probably say, I've already covered this. Nope. Nope. I haven't covered all of it. But I'm just summing it up. If we're led by the Spirit, if we are humble, meek, and submissive, that's what I've gotten from the scriptures so far that I have read. And if we continue in prayer, asking for the Holy Spirit to lead us in those prayers, if we're full of love and long-suffering toward others, if we're strong in faith toward the Lord, if we are forgiving and avoid bitterness and strife. There's more. If we're striving to be kind and tender-hearted, if we repent of our sins and do not procrastinate the days of our repentance. And I have a question. Well, I didn't pose another question, did I? Wouldn't it be great if we could count on the Spirit of God to lead our plans and our activities every day? Our plans and our activities. Because if our plans and our activities correspond with what God wants in our lives, then things are going to move. Spirit will be with us. Are we showing everything up there? Yeah. Well, the answer is, if you want to put that as a question, wouldn't it be great? The answer is we can. And if we ask the question how, the Word of God gives us the way. And I think I've covered a good portion of it right before I put all this on the screen. But I put it on the screen to sum it up so we remember the things. I've got 8 things up here. And if we can say yes to all of this about ourselves, we are on the way to being led by the Spirit of God. We're eligible. We scratch any of these off? Go the other way on any of these things? We're not there. It takes all of it. The Scriptures make that very plain. We have to have all of it. In Isaiah chapter 63, verses 11 and 12 read like this. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea like a shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious iron dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name? Do we ever reflect on the past? Do we ever say, oh, where is that today? Oh, I think I did some of that already right up here at the podium. And the children of Israel were doing this reflecting through Isaiah. Isaiah was thinking about that. The days of old. Are the days of old forever forgotten? Are the days of old just things that are history we write down? Are the days of old something that can't ever reoccur? I hope you're like me. I doubt that. I think that the old things that were good can be today. Moses won't come back and lead his flock through the Red Sea because that was already done. But the Spirit by which those things were done, his Holy Spirit within him, that can be within us today. And miraculous things can be done today. Things done in his everlasting name. Going on in Isaiah chapter 63, verses 14 and 16 in part. I skipped something in the middle of that. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. What's he saying? The past is not what's with us today. Past ain't here. We write about it. We think about it. We hope for a repeat of some of those things, but they're past. But our Father, our Redeemer, he's with us every day. That doesn't change. So if we find ourselves glorying in the past and saying, well, that can't happen anymore, and you know, that's then and this is now, and making excuses for ourselves for not having a Spirit guiding us today and giving us wonderful things today, it's time to evaluate ourselves. And where is his name with us? That name is from everlasting to everlasting. Not just yesterday. Not just today either. I had made that separation between 3 terms. So one of the terms was the Holy Ghost. And I just have this one statement here that makes a distinction. Jesus brought the Holy Ghost. Let me go to Luke chapter 1. I don't have this on the screen. Read a familiar story. And this is St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I don't know that Mary or anyone facing that would feel exceptionally favored, but verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Did she doubt a little bit? How should this be? Have you ever looked at the task before you and said, How shall this be? How am I going to do this? How will this be accomplished? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You probably know what happened after that. After a while, she went to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. Was the Holy Ghost involved there? Yes. As soon as her salutation was heard at Elizabeth's door, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she prophesied. And the babe, John, within her womb, leaped for joy. Such is the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus brought that about. Third Nephi 4:46-47. I came unto my own, and my own received me not, and the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them I have given to become the sons of God. And even so shall I to as many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me your redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled, because he fulfilled the law of Moses. He brought something new. And if you've been baptized, you have that new thing. Because the Holy Ghost is conferred upon those who go to that Jesus, who are baptized and make that pledge to serve him. And the hands are laid upon them and they receive the Holy Ghost. Have you made use of the Holy Ghost any time since you received it? Have you made use of it today? Are you aware? Are you thrilled with that? 3 Nephi 5:40. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Go back in time a little bit here. 1 Nephi 3:23-24. And I've often wondered about this because of what it says. But I'll read it. And it came to pass that after I, Nephi, having heard all the words of my father concerning the things which he saw in a vision, and also the things which he spake by the power of the Holy Ghost, which power he received by faith on the Son of God. Now wait a minute. Didn't I just say that we have the Holy Ghost because of Jesus? And it happened after he fulfilled the law of Moses. And it happens when it's conferred upon you by the hands laid on you after you've been baptized in the water. Didn't I say all that? It's all true, too. It's all true. And this was 600 years before Christ was born. And these things are being written. And so his father, Nephi's father, had a vision. And he spake by the power of the Holy Ghost, which power he received by faith on the Son of God. You'll find in the Book of Mormon that there was a time when they accepted Jesus Christ. Going all the way back to what Lehi accepted when he had this vision. And when they accepted Jesus Christ and his mission, the Holy Ghost was there. Now, I didn't make that happen. I only am only reporting what happened. But the Holy Ghost has been there to do the most vital and wonderful things that pertain to our lives as a church, our lives as family members, our lives individually. In 1 Nephi 3, 23 to 24. Now let's go ahead a little bit. 3 Nephi 5, 36 and 37. And we find this. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And it's Jesus' words, and I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me, believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me. So here's the Holy Ghost, and this now is Jesus talking after his resurrection. This is the Holy Ghost as we know it. And have we made use of it? The Holy Ghost is only through Christ. We're members of this church. Partly because we were baptized in the water. We received the Holy Ghost. That is the trademark, let's say, of the Church of Christ. Only through Christ the Holy Ghost comes. We are the Church of Christ. Why do I emphasize that? Because everything we do, everything we think, everything we're taught, all of what we look for in the future circles around Jesus Christ. That's why. If he hadn't made that completion of the work from the Old Testament, if he hadn't made that sacrifice that he made, we wouldn't be talking about this. It all goes back to him and what he did. We exist because of him as a church. Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Does your conscience bear you witness in the Holy Ghost? Are you like Paul? Bearing witness of in the Holy Ghost, within your own thinking, the way you think, the way you plan things, the way you make decisions, is the Holy Ghost there? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? Do you realize this every day? When you wake up in the morning, do you think, my body is awake, you know? It's going to function another day, perhaps. And dwelling in that body is the Holy Ghost. Unless you have dismissed it. Because you can. Because you have free will. Why did I underline, and ye are not your own? Because I want to remember that. I want to remember every day what I have, everything about me has been given by my God. And I am a container of the Holy Ghost. If I forget that, I might start doing what I want. I might start going according to the carnal promptings of my body, which aren't always too good. No, I have to remember that I'm not my own. I belong to Him. It's pretty easy to get off the track on that. You know, we get pretty fancy about how we regard ourselves. And we get to doing things, and we have many talents, many things we can do. We have many things that we own, you know. We can drive automobiles, listen to conversations on phones. And we kind of forget that none of that's possible without the Spirit of God. Even my body was not possible without the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is involved. It doesn't really belong to me. Found some other scriptures, and I'm just going to kind of point them out to you. In 3 Nephi 12:33, it says that we can be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Have you ever had a moment when you look at your life and you see what's going on, and you think, oh my goodness, I need some sanctification here. Things are not going well. I'm off track. I have a bunch of forgiving to do. That's one thing. Sanctified. I need to be sanctified every day, I think. So easy to bring a little dirt into your life. Sanctified. In 2 Peter 1, verse 21, it makes a statement that can be shown to say, prophecy may come by the Holy Ghost. Heard any prophecies recently? Well, Elizabeth prophesied as soon as Mary showed up at her doorstep because she received the Holy Ghost. That's why. You've received it. Done any prophecy recently? You don't have to, but we have to recognize prophecy, don't we? We have to recognize it. We have to know what it is. In Acts 10, verses 38 through 47, there are quite a few examples, but it means that healing has occurred through the Holy Ghost. Do you think the Holy Ghost is involved in every healing that takes place? Certainly the Spirit of God is. It may be in lots of them. Just depends. But if you read in that chapter of Acts, you'll find that the disciples, the apostles, were out preaching, and they were healing people. They were even raising the dead. They healed the people who were lepers. They healed the ones who couldn't see. They healed the ones who couldn't walk. And these things were done through the Holy Ghost that dwelled in them. I don't think I could do any of that stuff on my own. In Acts 9, verse 15, we're shown that the Holy Ghost may speak to you with a voice heard in your mind or even an audible voice. And if I went to that particular scripture, you probably recognize what it is, but I want to go there and just read that. Acts chapter 9. That's where Paul was headed to Damascus, and something happened to him on the way, didn't it? He was struck blind. He heard a voice. He heard the voice of Jesus. And that voice said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he identified himself, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He also said this, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I'm sure he was glad to hear that, since he was blind. Couldn't find his way to the city anyhow. What I'm really interested in, though, is Ananias. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And as seen in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority of the chief priests to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went. That took a lot of courage. But he believed what he heard, didn't he? The voice of the Lord came to him. Has the voice of the Lord come to you? I've talked to some people who've had the experience. The Holy Ghost can speak to you with a voice heard in your mind, or even an audible voice like Paul had. The Holy Ghost, one of the functions of the Holy Ghost. And in Acts 13, verses 2 to 5, the Holy Ghost there had a part in the calling of ministry. And there were other examples, there were lots of them actually, where certain men were set apart for certain tasks, and they were called into a kind of ministry, and they went on with that. And today we believe in this church that a calling to the ministry is quite appropriate. And in fact, that we don't even have the ministry unless that happens. It's the only way we'll accept it is if the calling is done the way it was done originally with Moses and Aaron. Acts 19, 5 through 6 says, They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. You might recall this. He came to a place and asked the people if they had received the Holy Ghost since they were baptized, and they said they hadn't even heard about it. And so they taught them about baptism, and then they were baptized properly. And when hands were laid upon them, they received the Holy Ghost. And I put this in here because, again, this is something that's specific and special with the Church of Christ. It's part of our trademark that we have that practice. A lot of churches don't have that practice. They say, if you believe, you have the Holy Ghost. And they pass this right up. You know, they read this and it doesn't mean anything to them, I guess. So do you remember the original question? Anybody? Question. The Spirit of God comes from God and is the same as the Holy Spirit. My opinion. This is my opinion. If we pray for and diligently seek spiritual direction and help, God will direct us with His Spirit whether or not we have been baptized. My opinion. Anyone had the experience? Direction by the Holy Spirit when you weren't baptized? I've heard of people being directed to get baptized by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was present when I made that decision because I was in a meeting and my step-grandfather, James Yates, was preaching and my brothers and my family were there and he paused in his deliverance and said, There are those here who wish to be baptized, would they please stand up? And the Holy Spirit was with me, and I felt it, and I popped to my feet. I was 18 years old. I was 19 years old. And then I looked around, and my two brothers had risen with me. The Spirit of God was there and prompted us, all three of us, to ask for baptism. The Holy Ghost came after the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and is given through laying on of hands by ministry with an elder's calling. Unless abused, it is a continuing source of help and understanding and can reveal God's will to baptize followers of Christ. My opinion. I stated that like a professor, didn't I? There's a lot of emotion wrapped up in this statement. There really is. I hope you feel it, even though the words are rather crisp and to the point. Do you feel it? Remember the slide I had about Exodus 35 and how the people were bringing their things to finance the temple? Their willingness that was made possible by the Holy Spirit, their willingness to serve. What if this were us, with hearts stirred up and spirits made willing, like the followers of Moses when Bezalel was chosen to oversee the building of the sanctuary that would contain the Holy of Holies? What if we could summon that oneness of purpose and direct it toward all the work of the Lord and for his purposes in our day? What if? Good question. A good question. One we need to ask. Let's pray for a clear understanding of God's will in my life and your life and share the things we learn from him when we seek the leading of the Holy Spirit. A worthy aim, isn't it? And expect wonderful things to happen. I'd add one thing underneath this. Yes, we can.